When trans lives are under attack, what do we do?
Stand up, fight back!
When trans lives are under attack, what do we do?
Stand up, fight back!
This is just gaslighting. There are no documented cases of trans women assaulting cisgender women in restrooms or locker rooms in Utah.
Issues affecting transgender Utahns are once again in the spotlight. And this year, it's all about bathrooms.
LGBTQ advocates protested against a bill to restrict transgender access last week on the steps of the Capitol.
Why are people so afraid? It's just like they're looking for things to hate and things to be afraid of and to stir up controversy. And it's like this is all non-issues.
They really are just trying to ban us from all public spaces. I mean, lack of access to bathrooms and changing rooms is essentially their entire goal, just to erase us from public view and public society. We deserve to exist.
These bills are like trying to put this narrative on us that we are predators or that we're not safe to be in these spaces. But we've been in these spaces and it's been normalized for how long? But all of a sudden, I feel like it's like they want to come again and try to attack us and put us into this predicament of who we are, and it's time to show up who we are and be who we are.
I'm Sage Miller.
And I'm Sean Higgins. For the last 2 years, the legislature has passed laws that directly impact many transgender Utahns' way of life.
This week on State Street, we're looking at the third installment. The legislation outlines who can and can't use certain public bathrooms, locker rooms, and other private spaces. It's on the brink of becoming law in Utah.
We'll hear from the bill's chief sponsor and a transgender teen who's speaking out against the measure.
The bill passed the House and Senate last week. It now awaits action from Governor Spencer Cox. Let's do a quick recap of this bill. It's called Sex-Based Designations for Privacy, Anti-Bullying, and Women's Opportunities, or HB 257.
And it covers a lot of ground. Some parts deal with privacy, and some with Title IX.
It limits the use of public restrooms, changing rooms, and locker rooms to the sex you're assigned at birth. This applies only to publicly owned and operated buildings. Think public schools, libraries, and recreation centers.
It legally defines a man and woman in Utah code. Basically, it outlines it in a biological, reproductive sense.
It requires every government building to have at least one unisex or single occupancy bathroom. More construction of those stalls is mandated too.
The bill also requires a few things not super related to bathrooms. It strengthens Title IX provisions around equal opportunities for both men's and women's school sports, like giving equal access to sport facilities, schedules, and game times.
Okay, so if you're having some serious deja vu, you're not wrong.
In the 2010s, access to bathrooms was actually one of the issues that sparked the modern culture war around transgender rights. Simply put, this is not a new conversation.
But the conversation is back in 2024. And when it hit the House floor for debate, emotions were high.
Democratic Representative Sahara Hayes is the only open LGBTQ lawmaker in the legislature. This is what she had to say when it was up for debate on the House floor.
We are sending messages that people can be criminal for existing in bathrooms. And I don't know what that says to LGBTQ and to transgender Utahns who have just as much of a right to be here as everybody else when we imply that we don't even trust them to pee in public.
And sponsor, Republican Representative Kara Berkland, also got emotional when defending her bill.
This legislation doesn't hurt people the way people say it does. If you actually read it, you have to do an improper thing. You have to do something in that bathroom that causes a reasonable person to be alarmed.
We spoke with Representative Berkland shortly after her statements on the House floor.
She explained where it all started for her.
Can you take me to the moment where you thought, this is an important piece of legislation and I need to run this bill?
So, yeah, actually, I'll be really blunt about that. I was told that there were a couple representatives interested in running the Women's Bill of Rights. And I was like, well, I'm a woman. I think I should take a crack at that.
And I wasn't really sold on running it even then. I just thought, I'll open it, I'll look into it. And then when I realized that a lot of states were running these women's bills of rights, and hats off to them, right? Not to put them down in any way, there wasn't anything added in there that made sure that women had their rights protected. And so that's when I really became passionate about making sure we do this right. And then when I learned about an 8-year-old within my district who was using a community rec center, and she walked out of the bathroom and there was an individual completely naked with a penis wide open for her to view and see, and how that impacted her, that's when I realized, like, this is going to be complex. We're going to make sure we have equality in there. We're going to make sure we have privacy in there. And we're going to make sure that those who really are doing harm are the ones who are being targeted.
And it was up for a floor debate. As you probably know, it was a pretty emotional floor time. And you also got emotional. So do you mind telling me what sparked that reaction from you?
I was kind of surprised, honestly. And I shouldn't be. And that probably sounds naive. And it's fine. I might have been naive. I just thought, this bill really is aimed at privacy. The bill really is aimed to ensure that everyone, regardless of their life and how they choose to live their life, feels like they have a place to go. And so for me to have people say things that I'm like, you don't even know me. You don't even understand. You haven't read the bill. Like, how can you attack someone? How can my home and my family be put under attack because you are ignorant to what we're actually doing? No one's checking genitals at the door. But when that's what's espoused, I understand that people get upset. But it's really hard and upsetting to work on a thoughtful piece of public policy only to have it just blown up under false narratives. And you just think, gosh, how? This is why we end up with bad policy so often, is because it's so easy then to just justify saying, then I'm going to just, you want to talk to me that way, you want to treat me that way, you think I'm going to do that, then watch me do it. Instead of being able to just be calm and be rational, have the dialogue that ensures that the policy is thoughtful and calm and what's right for our state.
And I know that this bill also addresses the increase in unisex or single occupancy restrooms. What was the purpose of that?
Well, number one, we all just prefer them. And it doesn't matter if you are biologically male or female or trans or have kids with disabilities or a parent with a disability now, or maybe you have a health condition that just privacy is better for you. Maybe you just, there's so many reasons. As I have talked to people about it, they're like, I'm uncomfortable. There's men out there that are just like, I'm uncomfortable with urinals, but you're a wuss if you are the one that goes into the stall. You know, there's so many reasons why people are like, I don't want to be in there, in the bathrooms, hanging out with other people. I just want to go do it on my own. And so if we're going to address true privacy, it only makes sense to really allow in our state for true privacy.
What does this mean for specifically trans children in school, in public school K-12?
So the privacy plan just means that whatever your needs are, and it could be a variety of needs from bullying or medical needs or identity needs, you will have a privacy plan. And really each school will be able to decide what that means for them, whether it's we have a unisex bathroom that you'll be able to use, or we're going to have like a time where, you know, a teacher's going to make sure that you have privacy in that bathroom, you know, whether it's the girls' bathroom or boys' bathroom. It really just ensures that if a parent's like, hey, I have a concern, I'm not comfortable with what's going on for a variety of reasons, they can say, we got you covered. We will create a plan for you.
At least one transgender minor in one of the committee hearings said that they were concerned that this would make them feel less safe in schools. What would you say to that student?
It's a fair concern, and I appreciate that girl was very articulate and very sweet, and it's always hard when you're balancing different interests, right? And what might be right for her and the kids that go to school with her might not be what's right for other girls and other kids in other schools. And so really we want to make sure that the privacy of everyone is put at the forefront, not the feelings and opinions of people, but truly this idea that there's a relative expectation of privacy. and teaching kids that if you're not comfortable, if you feel like this is difficult for you to go through, for whatever your reason may be, because you're trans or because you're not and someone else is in that space is, you can have privacy. We're not just going to tell anyone to suck it up and deal with it. We're going to tell every kid, your feelings, they matter to us. Because how can you teach kids that they shouldn't be groomed, that they, you know, shouldn't consent to things that make them uncomfortable, and then at the same time tell them, deal with it, discomfort's just normal part of life. Like, we want and should be teaching kids, we can accommodate your feelings and help you work through those.
That was Republican Representative Kara Berkland.
We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll speak with a transgender teen who has spoken out against the bill. You're listening to State Street.
Support for State Street comes from the Hinckley Report podcast, a weekly roundtable discussion about the biggest political headlines in the Beehive State. Find new episodes of PBS Utah's The Hinckley Report every Friday, wherever you listen to podcasts.
Welcome back to State Street. I'm Sean Higgins.
And I'm Sage Miller.
Alex Williams is 15 years old, does speech and debate, and is a big theater nerd. She's even created some of her own characters.
My favorite may or may not be a New Yorker hairstylist named Rwanda. She's a smoker, you can hear it. She's in the 50s, she always wears this beautiful blonde wig. Her real hair, a hot mess.
She's also a transgender girl and has been vocal about this bill. She testified in the House Business and Labor Committee and even met with Kara Berkland and House Speaker Mike Schultz to tell them her concerns. I talked to Alex about her experience.
Hello, my name is Alex Williams, and I am a trans woman from Utah. And unlike a lot of trans people, I actually really like politics. I think it's really cool.
It is really cool. So your spare time is very packed with Rhonda and speech and debate. But you did mention at the beginning of this that you are a trans woman.
Yeah.
So do you remember the moment when you knew you were trans?
So ever since I was little, I would like play with girl toys and do play as a girl when I play with my cousins. And then eventually, I remember I was 11 years old, and in 2019, I downloaded TikTok. I lied about my age, and I made an account. And when I made this account, I think it might have been June, because I saw all this pride stuff, and I was like, whoa, that's me. Wait a minute. Because, yeah, for my whole life, I was always like, I am going to be a woman. I don't know when, I don't know how, but it's going to happen.
So the Utah legislature is set to pass a bill that would prohibit trans people from using the bathroom that aligns with their gender identity in publicly owned and operated buildings. And that applies to K-12 public schools, too. How do you envision this bill impacting your everyday life?
I have been harassed by people at my school, and I just worry that this bill will let everyone know that I am trans, and that isn't great. I don't tell very many people I'm trans.
What are your, I guess, your overall thoughts on the bill?
I think it's a lot more progressive than it could have been, especially when it came to mandating construction of gender-neutral restrooms. I do like the part about girls in high school sports getting equal resources as boys. I think that's really cool. The rest of it's kind of trash. I think it's trying its best to be a good thing, but there are a lot of flaws to it.
Tell me some of those flaws.
So, first is that when I'm forced to use this restroom, it outs me to anyone and everyone who sees me use the restroom. And while most of the time people don't care, I have been harassed, and so I know that there are people at my school who could not be okay with that and take it out on me. Another flaw that I think this bill has is that I think it's really misleading when Berkland calls it an accommodation. An accommodation implies that A, it was asked for, and B, it is optional. And she claimed in a conversation that I had with her that 90% of trans people said that they wanted a gender neutral bathroom. But I don't think that that 90% said that I want to be forced into a gender neutral bathroom. I think they just wanted one to be available.
So I know that you spoke with bill sponsor Republican Representative Kara Berkland and Speaker Mike Schultz about the bill. Why did you want to meet with them, and what was your overall message to them?
This was really important to show that, like, I was just another kid and I was scared. And they were my politicians, and they were the only people who I knew who could help me. And so it was a very different thing than speaking in front of the committee, because speaking in front of the committee, I was very, like, pointing out the flaws in the bill. This one, I was trying to get them to pity me. I was like, girl, please help. And yeah, I just basically told them my story and how this scared me. And I think my favorite line from what I said is that this bill would force me to expose myself in a place made for privacy.
So she talked about this at the Senate committee. She also talked about it on the House floor. But Representative Berkland said this bill ensures privacy for all. How do you feel about that statement?
I think it's a very weird statement, because I feel like my privacy, and my dad said this, if a bill is putting people at risk for the safety of other people, then it needs more work. And privacy extends past bathrooms. Privacy and safety are outside of bathrooms, but when you pass bills like this, you are taking away my privacy to blend in with the rest of the girls at my school.
What do you want other kids in your position to know, I guess? Like, what's your message to them?
Would you imply by other kids in my position, would you mean trans kids or just kids overall?
You know what? Both.
For trans kids, just know that people are looking out for you. That I worked with members of the Utah House of Representatives and Senate, and even though there's definitely losses in this battle, that doesn't mean that you aren't being protected. And for teens overall, just know that we're just like you. We're just trying to be. The majority of people under the age of 18 actually don't care. Like, most people who are going to be interacting with us in school bathrooms don't care. But if you do care, I want you to ask yourself why you care. And does that hatred matter to you more than people do?
That was Alex Williams. So this bill has been a whirlwind. There were some big changes that were then almost immediately reversed. On Wednesday of last week, they removed the requirement to use the bathroom of the gender you are assigned at birth. Here's Republican Senate sponsor Dan McKay that day talking about why they did that.
For bathrooms, the bill focuses on the actions of those who commit lewd and offensive behavior in privacy space. It's no longer related to gender or identity. This bill does not define who can and cannot enter a public bathroom or a public sex-designated bathroom.
And here he is again, 24 hours later on Thursday of last week, saying he didn't actually mean to make those changes.
He actually thanked reporters for pointing out that requiring people to use sex-designated bathrooms was removed.
You pointed out a distinction, and I said, oh, is that not in the bill? And now it is. So again, the process pointed out, we made sure that at the end of the day, the policy matches what we intended, and that's why we have the bill right.
But one thing never changed. Who can use which bathrooms in public schools?
Initially, a big concern with this bill was how it applied to organizations that received state grants. It raised red flags for domestic violence advocates. They were worried about funding and turning away someone seeking help.
According to the bill's sponsors, these concerns have been addressed.
And in the final hours before it was shipped to Governor Cox's desk, another change was made.
After concerns were raised by LGBTQ advocacy group Equality Utah, protections were added for kids who use the wrong bathroom on accident. They can't become a criminal for making a mistake.
The bill now makes it clear that a minor will not face criminal charges for unknowingly entering the wrong space.
We actually couldn't find that language in the bill, but advocates and lawmakers say it's there. So what does this all mean for you?
If you're a transgender person or have transgender family or friends, they must use the public bathroom, locker room, or changing room that corresponds to the sex on their birth certificate. If they don't want to do that, they can use a gender nonspecific bathroom or single occupancy stall.
For transgender students in public K through 12 schools, they'll have to establish a privacy plan with their school's administration. The school will have to let those students use a single occupancy stall or staff bathrooms. There's also another potential side effect, possible economic blowback for the state.
North Carolina passed a similar law in 2016, and they faced a lot of backlash. The NBA pulled its All-Star game from the state in 2017, and according to CNBC, the law is estimated to have cost North Carolina nearly $4 billion.
Utah wants to bring the Winter Olympics back in 2034 and is actively courting more professional sports leagues to come here, like the National Hockey League and Major League Baseball. There's a risk that some of those organizations might not like the rhetoric happening right now.
But Republican state leaders have repeatedly said they're not worried.
That does it for this episode of State Street. I'm Sean Higgins.
And I'm Sage Miller. There are a lot of people behind the scenes making State Street happen. Caroline Ballard is our executive producer. We have production help from David Childs and KUER news director Elaine Clark.
Jim Hill, Raquel Davis, and Eleanor Gomberg make up our digital team. And a special thanks to David Childs and intern Elle Cowley for helping us gather tape.
If this episode left you with questions, let us know. There's a fancy comment box at kuer.org/statestreet. You may hear your question answered in a future episode.
See you next week.
Energy, energy, energy.
That was Kendrick Lamar. For you, David.
From KUER.